Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with Dr. Deborah Hillman bringing you The Positive Mind. Monday through Thursday, normally, here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Bringing you some ideas, concepts, a guest or two that may help you lead a more positively minded life. And we believe that the more information you have, the easier it is for you to perform, the easier it is for you to love, easier it is for you to get ahead in life. Understanding, such an important thing. Hard to understand other people and understand that they're very different than we are. And some of those differences come just by nature of the way you came into this earth. You know, I mean, we certainly know that you could come onto this planet with one skin color or another skin color, and it's going to determine a great deal. Or one sex or another sex is going to determine a great deal. Well, another one of those determining factors or influencing factors seem to be the order of your birth. What were you? What position were you? An only child? Were you the oldest, the second, the third child, the fourth child? That's what we've been doing for the last 2 days, going over this. And we've been trying to get this to you as completely as possible because it will help you if you understand it. It will help you understand where you are, where the people you care about or the people you have to deal with are, and how they function as well. Useful information. Not set in stone. There's exceptions to all of it, changes to all of it. Some people may be the only child, but they act like a fourthborn. And some people may be a firstborn, but they act like the youngest child. There are some exceptions to all of it. But in general, 90%, I would say, follow the patterns. 90%. And I've done significant research on this, and that's when I was younger, and I did a lot more just recently to bring you this material. We are going to review this for you a little so that it'll be a good review for the people who have been listening for the last 2 days. It's important that you get it in your mind so that you could look at someone and say, Like the other day I was walking out of the building where I work, and I looked at the man who was at the front desk, and I said, such an affable person, such a nice person, right? Such a person who seems to be flexible and sweet and just kind to everybody, but seems to get to everybody. I said immediately, second born. Then I second-guessed myself. I had to go back and ask him, and he told me he was a second born in his family, just because we were talking about this. So let's look at what it's like. And again, if you haven't been able to hear it all, and you do want to hear it, especially if you're a parent who intends to have a full family, you can call my office and get the program for all 3 days by calling area code 212-757-4488. That's 757-4488. The tape from Tuesday, Wednesday, and today are all about birth order. And they're on order, so we'll be getting them in soon. Now let's talk about today's program. First, let's review for you what these positions could be. The first one, the only child. Deborah, the only child has certain characteristics because that only child, and we're going to try to do this quickly, the only child, if you just get the picture of what they're like, they are the only one in the family. Right, so what are some of the characteristics? How do they grow up?
Yes, well, as the only one in the family, they spend a lot of time playing alone as little children, and they develop a very strong sense of privacy, of aloneness, which is not necessarily loneliness. And in order to cope with that, they develop what the literature calls two speeds, which sound to me a little like appliances, but one of these speeds for warding off intrusion is a kind of quick response to anything that would suggest what they perceive to be an invasion. They don't want any part of it. They push it away. The other is a much slower opening to embrace what would be helpful or supportive to them. They will... To make a friend, they're a little bit cautious and a little bit slow. They don't want that experience of intrusion, so they're very selective. Once they let you in, though, they're very welcoming.
So the only child is characterized because if you think about it, when you look at an only child, as they're growing up, they look like an adult. Well, of course, what other frame of reference do they have? They have their two adults. They're used to getting the attention of the parents because they have both parents 100%. Parents are not split with other children. So an only child who remains an only child is kind of a mini-adult. They're an adult the whole way, and they have created their own world in their mind. They have their own world. They do not let other people in too easily. They're quick to reject new ideas because, as Deborah said, it's like invasions. Right? So they like being the center of adult attention, but they have difficulty sharing with other people, with other children, with other adults. So only children are kind of unique, and you could sometimes spot them. But an only child doesn't stay an only child. An only child brings us to our next character. An only child becomes, if they have another baby, the firstborn. Now, if you're the firstborn, you have other characteristics. First of all, you feel like you were robbed of love. You had all the love of your family, and then this other kid comes along, and suddenly you're not the only one. So you suddenly feel like love is not as easy as you thought it was, and you've got to earn the love. And how do you earn the love? Because this other little one is getting it just by being there. Well, you got to wait for attention. You got to now wait for your mother and father's attention. So one of the things that the older child have, they have patience. Because they're waiting to be loved. Because they can't demand it. They can earn it. So they tend to be high performers. They tend to be high performers imitating their parents. They do adult kind of things. They take on the values of their parents as the older child.
They also tend to placate people quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes there's yet another child, and we have the second-born dilemma. And for the second-born child, there's a tremendous feeling of inadequacy. The second-born child is now in a position to compare her or himself to the older sibling, to the firstborn.
Right, so now you've got a family of two, and you have one as the baby, and this baby is the second-born, and they kind of are looking at this enormous figure, which is the firstborn. Now, unless we're saying there are certain differences, which we're not going to be able to cover today, maybe next week we'll go a little further into it. If you're the older child happens to be a woman and the second born is a male, it's kind of different. We'll talk about that at some other time, but mainly the second born has to own up to the first one, they think, and they can't do it. He or she is bigger than you are. They're older. They have the rules under wraps. So what happens to the second born? They decide that they're going to do things their own way, and they become rebels.
They also become perfectionists, and they try to suppress their feelings because they feel that nobody really cares. Certainly the older sibling doesn't seem to.
So if you meet a second born, you meet somebody who's usually competitive. They want to overtake things, you know. They want to be, they don't follow the right natural rule, you know. They'll tend to be outside of the normal system. So now the second born is there, and they're okay. Now, keep in mind, they're doing fine, because the one advantage that they have as the second born is they are going to be, they're the youngest child. And they're the babies. So they get the advantage of being the baby. And if you stay the second born, one of the things you might do because you can't compete anymore is you might get sick. You might be somebody who, because there's a little engineering thing going on, who because you're sick, you suddenly get the attention of your family. So you could fall into sickness as a second born and try to win that way. But let's move on now. Now let's say this is just a review. We went over this much more in the previous days. Deborah, the third born.
Okay, so a third comes along, and the dilemma for this one is that the third born tends to feel very vulnerable to the persecution of the second. Second one, the third born feels kind of picked on. And as a result, this one copes by trying to become strong. And if she or he succeeds in becoming strong, then there's a kind of fearlessness to the personality. But if they don't succeed, then there's a fearfulness that's present.
So you got to get this. In the adult self, what happens? In the adult manifestation of a third born, they're either going to be very strong or very weak. Because they are getting the bad end of the stick. You see, the second born got angry. Got angry because the older born seems to be getting all the good stuff. So the second born turns around and passes its resentment in one form or another down to the third born. The third born is looking and it's got a second born in front of it and a first born in front of it. And the only way it's going to get by is by being completely unique and overpowering everybody. So it could become a weightlifter, a bodybuilder. It could become really strong. Or it gets sick, and it gets its attention that way. Thirdborns have one of the worst positions, inordinal positions. It's tough. It's tough to get over being just a thirdborn. If you have a family that's not loving, inadequate, or not capable of giving love properly, then they are then you have you get shaken up. The third born gets shaken up. So how do you get through it? Now, that's the first three. Now, keep in mind that at one point, somebody in a bigger family feels like a middle child. And they get sandwiched in, and they feel like they're squeezed out of everything. Because the second born, if there's a third born around, they say, well, I'm not good enough to be the oldest. Now that there's a third, I can't be the youngest. I'm not the kitty in the family. I'm kind of squeezed out of everything, you know? And they could get even tempered, and they may have trouble finding a place. You know, and one of the things that you usually find is that the middle born, you know, when they're in the middle, when they're sandwiched in the middle, they suddenly become the champions of fairness. You know, they're out there talking about what's fair in the world, because the thing they're feeling is how unfair their position is. These become the champions of justice. They fight injustice. I wonder how many middle children we have who are working at WBAI or are part of the WBAI audience, you know, who are raising the banners and saying, hey, let's make it fair. Because a lot of us are fighting just because we were middle children, and we didn't feel it was fair in the family. So at least we put it to some good use. Now, Deborah, what happens? Here we go on to the fourth born, and we're going to stop after the fourth born and then show you some other interesting things about matching the different personalities. Deborah, what's the fourth born like?
Well, the deal with the fourth born is that the third born kind of tries to pass along the feeling of vulnerability that she or he has to the fourth born. So the fourth born endures the third born saying such things as, you're not big enough, you're not smart enough, you're not fast enough, you're not old enough to play with us. Consequently, the fourth born feels rejected and immature, and that kind of becomes a lifelong dilemma. They need to find a way to feel okay in the world, and they do that by trying very hard. Life seems to be difficult. It's rough, and you've got to work hard.
But they believe that they should work hard, because in some way they've got these allies. Even though they're the enemies, they have these older siblings to emulate. You know, they have these older siblings that they could kind of watch go through life. So they see the older siblings having struggled and made it, you see. Whereas if you're an only child, you don't necessarily see that. So your real motto becomes, life isn't easy. Life is hard, you know, but you got to work at it. They don't quit. They're fighters. And fourthborns can become real leaders. Fourthborns can become amazing leaders, right, Deborah?
Yes, yes, they can. They have actually quite a developed skill for managing other people. They develop that because they're frightened of being trapped by other people's feelings. They're kind of threatened by what other people feel. And so they protect themselves by being a bit controlling. But that leads to a skill in management.
A big skill, right. They have a skill in management. They're giving. They know how to give. You know, how to give in order not just to receive, but they know how to smooth over an area. They're good at manipulating people. They are, commandeering attention. And, you know, it's interesting, when they become parents, the fourth born usually becomes the buddy to the children. He kind of relates to the children as if it's a child, knowing not to take that commanding position with the children. Armand DeMille here with Deborah Hillman. We're talking about birth order, and we're going to stop at the fourth born. There's many more, of course, and a lot of people listening are going to say, what about me? I'm the fifth born. We will approach that in your questions, but there's a little more to go with this. Intriguing, interesting stuff. It's just so interesting. Is that the fourth born? Is there more on the fourth born, Deborah?
Is there more that we didn't cover? Well, they react strongly to blame, and they mm-hmm. tend to feel angry. They also express love by giving.
That's what I said. It's one of the ways.
Yeah.
One of the ways they realize that if I give, and they give materially very often. Very often they're likely to go out and find your favorite rock and give it to you. You know, they'll find if it's time to give you diamonds, they'll give you diamonds. And they'll do that. They'll do that. They'll know that this is just the right time to do it. And sometimes they find it easier than giving emotionally. You know, they'll give materially. because they're trying to look at what's going to satisfy you. But they've got to stay protected, because remember, that fourth born position is a tough position. It's a position where a lot of stuff could come down at you. It's a position where you're being told over and over again that you don't belong because you're too small. You're shut out of the major family. Everybody is older than you are. Everybody has more rights than you do. So you're looking up from the bottom and feeling like an outsider all the time. And it's a very difficult position. So you got to find out, how do I get people to love me? And you work hard at it. And one of the ways you work hard at it is by trying to earn that love in one form or another. And one of the ways of doing that is by giving a great deal. So let's take a look at what happens now. Let's do some comparisons, okay? Here we have, and we've put together some comparisons of what happens in certain areas, okay? And we started with, just to try to make a comparison here, let's start at the very beginning. If you were born in one of these birth order positions, what is what's called your original challenge? If you're born in either the only child, the firstborn, the secondborn, the thirdborn, or the fourthborn, you have what's called this is your cross to bear, right? This is it. What is it, Deborah? What is the only child?
Well, the problem that the only child faces is, how do I play alone without feeling lonely?
That's a big one. Think of yourself if you're an only child. How do you get through life filling yourself without being lonely? And as an only child, you're going to see how you adapted to that. Now, many of you may see yourself as older children or second children, but you see yourself psychologically as an only child. If you're one of those people who felt completely isolated from the family and who really seemed to answer the description of the only child, then that's what's called a psychological birth order, and that's just as valid. That's what you are. Now, that's the only child. The firstborn, right, that's the oldest child, which was once the only child, has another problem, right? And that's the loss of their mother's love to a new baby. And that becomes part of your life. Losing love to something new, and how to keep things loving you. You got to be a good kid. The second born
comes along and has the problem of being outdone by the firstborn.
And that's a real problem that they feel. The third born has the problem of being shamed by the second born. Remember that this now third born is getting all the resentment that the second born feels, and the fourth born is angry because they're being excluded from everything, especially by the third born. So they develop strategies for dealing with these challenges. The only child, in order to deal with how to play alone without feeling lonely, creates imaginary companions. It makes sense. It just makes sense.
Mine was named Mooney. And then comes the firstborn. And the firstborn, in order to deal with this problem of the loss of mother's love, waits for attention.
They learn to wait for attention. Instead of demanding it, you earn it. You earn it and you wait to get the love. You see? You become a good kid and you get the love that way. The secondborn, right, in order to deal with being outdone by the firstborn, rebels. And in their rebellion, they become perfectionistic. And they become fighters. They become perfectionistic.
And the thirdborn, who feels shamed by the secondborn, reacts by becoming emotionally strong.
And the fourthborn, of course, who feels excluded by everybody, how do they deal with it? How do they deal with it, Deborah?
Well, they don't really trust themselves. They don't listen to their own inner promptings very well.
Because their inner promptings are so angry. You see, you're so filled with misery on the inside that the way you deal with it is you stop listening to yourself. Very hard for being introspective. Armand DeMille, Deborah Hillman, you're listening to The Positive Mind. We're giving you a lot of information. Hope that you find it useful. But there's a lot of stuff that this gets really interesting with. Like, for example, let's skip to the end here. And in the, what happens to you when you get married, right? And this, we're going to be taking your calls a little later. But let's look at just the styles of... The style of finding something when you're looking for something. Relational problems. Here it is, relational problems. The only child, right, remember, in their relationships, their problem is that people could invade them. So they feel oppressed by other people's feelings, especially their negative feelings. So they've got to close themselves off. And that's a relational problem, because in a relationship, you have to be able to deal with other people's feelings. You have to really be able to deal with them. And if you're not, if you feel everything is an invasion, it's going to be very hard, especially when it comes to the negative feelings. So the only child has a great difficulty with it. The firstborn has another difficulty, which is they always feel obligated. Ooh, getting tired, Deborah.
Well,
we've been doing this a long time, eh? I'm getting older. no clue.
Or you made up a new word.
Made up a new word. Yeah. They feel obligated. They feel obliged. The firstborns, they feel obliged. You know, you're the head of the family now. The parents say, well, you got to take care of your brother and sister. So they feel obliged to satisfy people. And they resent it. You know, I was a firstborn. I remember what that was like, you know. I remember specifically what that was like. It went, Oh, it sure did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Firstborn, you got to take care of everybody, right? Secondborn, so there it is. Now there's a problem. Now you get in a relationship, right? You got to be the caretaker. You resent it. Secondborns have another problem, right?
Well, they feel overwhelmed by other people's anger.
Yeah, anger's a real scary thing to the secondborn. I think because they're so angry themselves, you know, and I think they're so angry themselves that the other people's anger just kind of, you know, it just they become overwhelmed by it because it tends to trigger theirs. I wonder if that's true. Well, maybe it is. Let's see, what happens to the thirdborn, Deborah, you know?
They feel obliged to help other people. It's just that word again.
The obligated. They feel obligated to help other people. And the thirdborn do that. So, you know, they've got to find people. A thirdborn would be somebody who would get related to somebody who's got a problem, a dependency problem of some kind, drug, alcoholism, stuff like that. They're going to help them. You know, they're going to be the saviors. And the fourthborn have feelings of being trapped by other people's feelings. They're afraid. You know, they're really afraid. They feel like they're, like any minute now, you know, the people could just own them. So they've got to get away. And fourthborns have a very difficult position. Armand DeMille with you, with Deborah Hillman. We're trying to make up a lot of rules. We've taught you a lot. We do want to hear from you. You know, we want to hear from you because we want to hear from you. Here's a question I have for you. If you are with someone, who is a partner, a relationship problem, a partner, now I want you to think about this. Either you are the oldest, firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, we could go that far, or the only child. What is your position? What is yours? Are you the oldest, first, second, third? We're going to make, Deborah, I want us to make a record of everybody that calls. I want to find out if they're oldest. Let's keep a survey while we're doing this of what they are, oldest, first, second, third. What and you're in a relationship with someone else, and what's their ordinal position or their position in their family? You could call us. 209-2900 is the number here. 209-2900. That's the number here at the station. 209-2900. Would all of you who believe in psychokinesis please raise my hand? 209-2900. Well, you know what? If spiritual leaders, I mean, if mystics are really mystics, why do they have to ask your name? 209-2900. We're going to take your calls, and you tell me about your relationship with someone else. You tell me what their position was, and you tell me what your position is. Now, please don't call if you don't know what their position is, and please don't call if you want to discuss Gary's recipe for something. Call just about this issue. You have a relationship with someone else or had a relationship with someone else. It could be your boss. It could be a lover. It could be a child. It could be anything. Let's discuss two relationships. Actually, let's do just marriage. We're going to do just relationships, not just marriage, but coupling. So you have a couple's relationship with somebody. We're going to start off by taking a couple of calls, and we're going to come back. Let's take a call right now. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. Hello, you're on the air.
Armand?
Yes.
Yes, hi. I might have called at the wrong time now. I've been trying for 3 days to reach you.
Oh,
I just turned
I'm
my
sorry.
Radio down. Can I call you privately then?
Sure.
Is it possible?
Sure. Call 212-757-4488.
212-757-4488.
Yeah.
Any particular time?
No, just call, and whenever I get a moment, I'll get right back to you.
Okay, because there's a particular problem in my family. I'm a fourth born, and my older sister died, and there's a whole...
Oh, well, do you feel like you fit the formula of the fourth born?
Oh, yeah. Dear God, yeah.
What part of it matched when we were talking
about it? It's been a struggle all the way through, like you said, just for acceptance, and always getting beaten down by the other three, and... It was very difficult coming up.
But you don't quit, do you?
Well, I got to tell you that I did. I wound up clinically dead in a coma for 7 days.
Well,
over 400 pills I took a drug overdose.
Amazing.
But I'm back.
You're back.
I had a wonderful journey with Jesus in heaven, which was really awesome.
You give me a call. We'll help you deal with your family, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Sure, a fourth born does have that tough spot, you know? It's kind of terrible. Let's take one more call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello. Hi there.
I'm a baby by a big amount. So I've been, let's see, my partner is an only child.
And what are you?
I'm the baby by a lot.
But I mean, but does that make you the first child, the second child, the third child?
Third child. But I mean, I'm younger than everybody of my generation by a big amount.
So you're really an only child?
Kind of. You know what I'm used to? I'm used to running the gamut of being alone. I'm used to being with a crowd of people. I'm used to being with a crowd of people and being the center of attention. Also being with a crowd of people and being ignored. And being alone a lot, being with people a lot.
So
you're the whole gamut.
So you're kind of like the only child because everybody was at least 13 years older than you?
Just about. I mean, my sister is 7 years older than me, but she was very mature.
And she was nowhere near you? You don't remember? She didn't take care of you as a kid?
No, she did. She was like a second mother.
Yeah, so that's what I think. So you're the third. I would go with the third, and your partner is what, a first or an only?
An only child.
An only child. Here's what they say about it. They say it's a common relationship.
So was the one before, by the way, an only
Interesting
child.
That you pick only children, right? They say it's a common relationship. Here's what it says, and we only got a minute now because we're going to have to come back in a couple of seconds. You will find it easy to please the other person, and you like the emotional expression in response to what you do. You see, your spontaneity may wear on your partner because you may be very spontaneous and you may want life to be a little more predictable and orderly. You know, you may, your partner will want that because an only child tends to want things to be kind of predictable, orderly, because remember, they don't like invasion. In conflict, you may be unable to get through to the other person the way you wish. You may think you understand your partner, but on a gut level you don't, because it's very hard as a third born to understand somebody who's an only child. Very, very hard, because they're in their own world, and it's very difficult to know. Listen, it's not easy stuff. We are trying to teach you something that has taken a long time to understand. But when we get back, we'll be taking all of your calls, and we're going to just take a break for a couple of minutes, and we'll be back with you. Shortly, let me bring you something real special.
Yeah, there is. It's me. I overlapped it, so you can erase that. Yes, that's easy.
Deborah Hillman, Hey, Deborah. Yes. Here we are talking about birth. Birth order. Birth. Birth order, right? Now, what was it? So now, each birth order, we're going to go back to the calls right away. We're going to be taking your calls. Remember, if you missed today's program, I don't think we're going to be able to finish this today, Deborah, you know? I think maybe Monday we'll tap out with a lot of questions from people, because I think there must be a lot of questions. We're going to be with you on Monday, and we're going to go to a lot of questions on Monday, because and a little more information, but the primary information is going to be for these last 3 days. I mean, that's all the teaching we have. But then it's your show, my friends, so we'll be taking your calls as well. If you missed the program and you want to get a copy of the two programs between Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on birth order, if you want to learn about it, the telephone number is 212-757-4488. You know, if you have children, children have the same family and home environment, but they show amazingly differences according to how they're born. The genetic factors are one thing, but it's just, you know, as a parent, firstborns are usually easier to raise than later children. Frequently, they have school success. They're often bossy with their younger siblings and frequently a little rigid. Since first-time parents tend to be anxious, apprehensive, and demanding, their children are affected. They get the full love and attention of their parents, but they're subject to strong expectations of family standards and values. Now, generally, though, when that one child becomes a firstborn, they do things a lot faster than their brothers and sisters. They approach life more seriously, and you look down and you see the difference between your children. And you say, well, how could this one child be this way and the other children be that way? I'm going to try to treat them fairly. I'm going to try to not show preference. It's almost impossible. Because young children do things to each other to compensate for their feelings, and they're not mature enough to handle it well. You know what I mean? What do we expect of them? I'm a forensic psychologist, and one of the things that I was reading in a forensic magazine recently was about how children who testify, how often they will lie on the stand. Now, this is not that they are lying about sexual abuse and stuff like that. They'll just lie. They make up a lot of lies because they make up stories in their mind very often. And you'll find that they'll have many different stories that they'll make up, and how very often the lawyers will try to manipulate whatever fact the child is giving at the moment. But the children are learning. They're learning. And in their learning, they make up stories. Now, how your children are going to respond to you when you tell them one thing or another, they're going to respond differently with each other. You remember as a kid, don't you? When you were a child, you remember hitting somebody who was younger than you, or torturing somebody younger than you if you were an older child, or getting even, or being the second child who would get just angry and nasty and be happy that the older one is punished sometimes. All those kind of things that, you know, no matter how loving the family are, you sometimes fall into it. When the parents are less available to the secondborn than they were to the firstborn because they've got to split it, you know, the children tend to become a little more laid back in their achievement. So it's all kind of funny. Then the youngest child in the family frequently has special privileges and gains considerable social skills because of the interactions with their older siblings. They have older siblings, but the older child doesn't have older siblings.
Now, I think the older child often gets quite jealous, though, seeing the younger ones get certain kinds of privileges and advantages that they didn't get at the same stage or maybe still don't have.
Sure. And they say, look, I played the game right and I did all the right rules. How come this little one is getting all these benefits by being cute? And they very often resent. And if you're an older child and you see that you resent the cuteness in people who are cute and get their way by being cute without following the rules, and you resent it, it's part of your older childness. Listen, let's take a look at just the idea of boundaries, dealing with boundaries. How do you deal with the fact that you find out there are certain limits in life, right? The only child who has such respect for boundaries because they have respect for their own, they have their own boundaries. They want other people to respect their boundaries, so they respect other boundaries. An example of that, you have an only child who is playing with another child. And the only child is playing with the other child, and the other child says, I don't want to share my toy. Well, the other only child says, okay, it's easy. It's an easier thing. Because as an only child, you know sometimes you don't want to share. See, it's easier to accept. Well, if you're a second born and somebody says to you, I don't want to share my toy, you could become outraged. You could manipulate them into giving you the toy. you could wind up owning it. So the older child knows how to the only child knows how to respect other people's boundaries. Now, a firstborn, Deborah, how do they see the other boundaries?
Well, they perceive other people as having insurmountable boundaries, which means that it seems to them that it's very hard to get to another person and get what you want.
So if they see somebody who says, I don't want to give you my toy, they think there's no way they're going to get it. They think it's just impossible to get. It's not that they have respect for it. They just feel, well, it's just one of those rules that you got to follow. You got to follow the rules because somebody dictated a rule. You know, I don't know how to get past that kind of a boundary. Because remember, the firstborn is trying to win back the love of their parents. And so when the parents say no, they learn to obey. Okay, no it is. If I'm the older child, my parents say no it is. I'm going to be just like them so I can get their love. The secondborn, when it comes to boundaries.
Well, they develop strict boundaries, but they kind of make their own rules.
It's always interesting to watch. Sometimes I watch. I was watching some children play by a pool, a swimming pool once. And I watched it was a second born because I know she had an older sister. And she was telling somebody else's children about how to play this diving game. And so we say, the rule is now you dive in, I dive in, and you have to dive in just like me. So she'll be holding her nose, and she'll jump in, and the other one will jump in. And then she'll say, but no, you have to do it. And she'd keep making up different rules for the game. She would keep making the game so that whatever it was, the other one couldn't beat her at it. And she would just be redefining the rules. And she believed she was making up the right rules. You know, it wasn't just manipulation. And lastly, the third born, they don't know how to set boundaries. The third born is the most seducible of all people. You want to invade them. You want to take them over. There they are. If they're third borns, boy, they could get swept off their feet like nothing. No matter what they say their boundaries are, you can get through those boundaries in general. In general.
And then the fourthborn has an interesting split. The fourthborn tends to develop very strict boundaries of his or her own.
Well, you better, because you know nobody, you don't belong to anything. You are the outsider of the family, so you've got to set up your own world in one way, much like the only child on one level, but on another level.
Well, and on the other hand, they don't really respect other people's boundaries.
So you see many fourthbound in the criminal element. They tend to be people who are private in their own world. They kind of keep their own world very safe, but they invade. They cross over. They get from others. They are, just think about the profile of a criminal, right? You're kind of kept out of society in some way or another. You resent it. You break into society to get what you want. So it's a perfect profile for a thief. Would be a fourthborn. Break the rules because nobody will have me the way I am. Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. Let's talk about some of your mating situations here. What about you and your mate? 209-2900. We're going to take your call. 209-2900. Let's take your call and see where you stand in this marriage thing. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello there. Oops, let's see now. 209-2900. We're going to pick up a call right now. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Yes. I'm married to someone who's the fourth.
What are you first?
I'm the second order, and it ends there. I'm just the last born. I'm the second.
You're the second?
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest child?
Yes.
Right? Okay, that's one way to say it. Can you speak just a little louder?
Sure. And my husband is the fourth.
So you're a second who's married to a fourth. Let's take
And he's out of five. Four out of five.
He's four out of five.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so he's really a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could talk about what maybe on Monday we'll go over that. But let's talk about what the second to a fourth is like. You're the second, right?
Right.
Okay, this relationship could be good if the fourth is free of anger.
Okay.
Is he free of anger?
Somewhat, I guess. I think he's got some anger.
Now, here's the problem. You would share on the rational level, you know, and the fourthborn can make life enjoyable for you. However, if the fourthborn carries anger, this could be a miserable relationship for you. Your partner can have the upper hand over you psychologically, leaving you feeling helpless. Even when difficult, this relationship does not usually become abusive. It just becomes difficult. Does that kind of fit?
Yeah, it does. I guess he's pretty free of anger because I think I do enjoy myself with him.
It's a nice thing you got there. Yeah. You see, weren't you smart?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you lucky that you don't go around and as a second child, you know, pick an only child or pick another second child? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later. Second children with second children. Ooh, what they do. I don't know if anybody's going to call us as a second. It's a compatible relationship, but it's certainly dynamic.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. 209-2900. Let's take another of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I am a fourth born, but actually a ghost child. And my husband is a first born. And both of us have a great deal of distance in years between our next siblings. So he sometimes refers to me as an only child. Because for a lot of my life, my older brothers weren't even around. They were just away.
Well, talk about what you mean by ghost child.
Well, the third child, my sister, died. And mm-hmm. my parents...
At birth?
No, when she was five. So my brothers came before her, and then there was my sister, and then she died. And I was born about a year and a half after she died. Mm-hmm. So I am the fourth, but I am the ghost child. And
tell the world what it means to be a ghost child.
Well, as I learned from you, that means to be the child who comes after one who has died.
And it has certain...
I sometimes feel like I'm the replacement. You know,
yeah,
living,
right.
I'm
after living. The you have a ghost in front of you because your mother must have become a little overprotective of you.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
And you must have exploited her overconcern, you know, in some way, or you rebel and you protest against the feeling of being compared to this other person who died. Which of those do you think?
You know, it's a little of both. I don't ever feel like I'm being compared, but I do sort of rebel. Both my husband and I love to be taken care of, but hate to be told what to do.
I understand. I understand. So you're, now let's get this again. You're a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fourth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a fourth who's with a what?
With a firstborn.
A fourth with a first. Let's see what happens here. A fourth with a first. Here we go. This could be a good relationship if you're willing to take the leadership. Are you?
He won't allow me.
Well, the firstborn is out of touch with, really, is he out of touch with his feelings?
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah, and they're really out of touch with their thoughts, feelings, and wants, and yet they're the firstborn. You know, they feel like they're kind of the leaders.
Yes.
But what makes this relationship work is when you, the fourthborn, force your way through and take the leadership around emotional issues. Now, if you accept that, you know, and of course you want to be taken care of, so there's a big part of you that is saying, ah, I don't want to do it, and I don't want to be the leader, I just want to be, you know. But you have all the capacity to do it. If you accept it, then you can help provide direction for this relationship. If you're offended, thinking that the firstborn is often being evasive, then you're going to have a difficult time in the relationship. So if you become critical of your husband because you see him as evasive, you know, and avoiding emotions,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get far.
Okay.
You're going to have a tough time. So what you're going to have to do is take over and be the one who in some way leads the emotional charge without asking him necessarily to join you the whole way. Does that make any sense to you?
It does. I just have experienced a lot of difficulty in his reaction, which tends to be, you know, don't tell me what to do. Don't boss me around. He's a typical leader, firstborn,
uh-huh.
you know. Bossy.
So maybe there's another way in. Maybe there's another way in other than bossing him. You know, sometimes you could tickle. You know, firstborns are real easy to manipulate. They are so easy to manipulate if you don't go up against them because they have this wall. And if you bounce against their wall, the wall gets stronger. But if you pour, you know, if you just kind of sweat against the wall begins to melt. It kind of responds to an atmosphere where it could feel safe again. Remember, it's always trying to earn love.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line of the firstborn is, how do I get the love back that I lost?
Yeah.
So if you're critical of it, it's just proof that it's not getting the love.
Mm-hmm.
So what they need is they need a lot of the positive stuff first
yeah.
before they bend.
I see that.
And it's tough to do, huh?
It is.
I understand. That's why I think couples therapy really helps.
Well, we're in it.
You're
Thanks
in it?
You.
What?
Thanks to you. We're in it.
Okay. I wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 209-2900. Hi there. This is Armand DeMille with Dr. Deborah Hillman. You're on the line. Hi there.
Hi. I am a firstborn, and my partner is, well, kind of a, she's a, actually a secondborn, but for the first 7 years of her life, she was there alone. So she has the feeling of being a firstborn, but also a secondborn.
Now, wait a minute. How was she alone for the first 7 years of
her life? Well, actually, she wasn't. She was alone for the first 3 years. She has an older brother that was with the grandmother until she was seven. And she had a sister that came when she was three. So she was the big sister. And then all of a sudden, when she was seven or something like that, then this older brother came that, you know, out of the blue.
Boy, I'll bet that pissed her off. Don't you think?
I think it did.
Don't
yes.
you think? Don't you think it makes her feel angry and resentful?
Definitely.
You know, like, hey, what are you doing coming into my life and just snapping away any bit of security I have?
Right. Well,
and you're a firstborn?
I'm a firstborn.
So it's kind of now. You see, you're the kind of person who takes care of people. You see, you feel responsible for their well-being in a sense. And here you have this dynamic person who is like, you know, saying, it's impossible to take care of me because I'm so angry and so rebellious.
Mm.
Is that the nature of your relationship? Do you find it difficult to please her?
No, I think that she also is very needy of love and responds very well to that.
And you've got abundant love to give around?
Yeah.
You do?
Well... Yeah, sort of, but I'm dealing with that, too.
What's the sort of part?
I'm learning to give some of that abundant love to myself.
Yeah, that's what that's the whole trick. You know, you kind of beat me to the punch here. The way that we escape these ordinal positionings, I'm going to go back for a second and remind you all about this wonderful work that Deborah Hillman has done on the Enneagram and the different personality styles. Have you heard that? Do you remember that? That we did, the way that you, those are called fixations. And kind of these positions are fixations as well. These are things that are the adjustments. These are things that happen to you. And you could break out of any mold. And the way you break out of the mold is when you start loving yourself. When you're willing to go inside and accept yourself as you are and love yourself a little bit. How do you get out of fixations, Deborah? What are you willing to face?
Well, when you get out of a fixation, what you really face is yourself. For the first time, the fixation is really kind of like a compulsion, which we've talked about a bit. It's a repetitive way of looking at the world and responding to the world and just being in the world. And when you begin to watch that in yourself, when you start to see the pattern, then you just put a little bit of distance between yourself and this habit, so that it's almost like letting fresh air into the room. And when you begin to observe yourself that way, you begin to recognize that you really do have more choices than you thought you had.
Well, it's the same thing with being an older child, first child, second child, third child. If you're a second child and you're rebelling, you ask yourself, who am I rebelling against? What's this rebellion about? What am I doing here? And you remember, you say, I'm a second born and I'm doing the second born thing. What if I didn't do a second born thing? What if I did a sandborn thing? What if I did a newborn thing? What if I did a thing that wasn't part of anything? What if I followed the rules, you know? Secondborns, you could always ask yourself about following the rules. Fourthborns also. What if you just played the game? You know, without resentment. Firstborns, what if you give up on earning the love? You never really lost love. You just shared with another kid. You know what I mean? You never had it in the first place. That love that you think you had, the complete attention from both your parents, it was illusory. In a way, it was just there for that time. But that's when you were a kid. Now you're an adult. It's not about gaining love. You have love. The first love you have is your love yourself. Find that love, and you won't be waiting to get your parents' love, so you won't be so stuck. You won't be so rigid. You won't be so trying all the time to insist on the rules. And the same thing with the third born. There's nobody you have to fight against. There's nobody coming down on you anymore except yourself. All that self-criticism you have is you criticizing yourself, not your older sibling criticizing you. So when you start to own that there's no enemy, that it's not about your parents anymore, and it's not about the other siblings anymore, but you're acting as if it is, then you start breaking away from the positions. Then you could be third born or fourth born. Which one is the one, the third born, right, that has no boundaries? The one that, you know, everybody can kind of take you in wherever they want to take you. It's the third born.
Yes, that comes from that feeling of vulnerability.
Sure. And then you suddenly turn around and say, hold on a second. Ho. I've got my boundaries. I don't like this anymore. And it happens. You see it happening to people. You see men and women who have had relationships that have been abusive their whole lives suddenly turn around, and these relationships were just, a lot of thirdborns do that. They have abusive relationships. And they suddenly turn around and they say, hey, no more. I'm going to be my own person. And suddenly, they're only children again. Suddenly, they're the only child. Suddenly, they're making their own rules. So it's not easy, but you do get a chance to break out of it. It sounds to me like you are doing just that, so I'm really pleased. We're going to take another call. But before we do, wait, let's go one more spot here, Deborah. Before we take that call, Michael, please bear with me. Let's see, where's that thing on these comparisons? Here we are. Some people. The ways of relating to people, right? The ways of relating, means of relating. The only child, their way of relating to people is they project their own perceptions onto other people, imagining that the other people is the way that they think they are. Now remember, only children, with the exception of Deborah Hillman, who can understand the way other people are, which you do, and some people who do. But a lot of only children make up what the other person is. They make it up because, remember, they all went to the great school of MSU. You know what MSU is? Mix stuff up, yes. MSU.
Yes.
And they do. They make stuff up. Yes. So they make it up. By the way, the fourthborns make up a lot of stuff, too. But they make up a lot of stuff, and they make up a lot of stuff because they're building their own worlds. They have their own world to create. Remember, they're alone. They don't have any other children there. So in their aloneness, they create their own world. And in that world, they create not only other imaginary characters, but imaginary characters who feel certain ways. So, you know, they have a binker, and they have characters who have feelings that are really projections of their own feelings onto these characters.
And those characters are what make the world seem safer to this person who is essentially alone. So projecting one's own feelings onto other people is really just an attempt to feel okay in the world. But it's quite possible to learn that other people really do have their own thoughts and feelings, and that it's not threatening.
Another way of relating, the firstborn's way of relating, is they work to impress others to get their admiration. You see, they want to get the love. So the way they relate to people is to impress them. They impress them passively, but they impress them by their achievement. They're not boasting necessarily. They're just showing how good they are all the time. And the firstborns are usually the strong ones who have followed the rules and succeeded, the doctor in the family, the one who has made the achievement, you know, when they became a lawyer. Well, I don't know if they become lawyers. I think the secondborns become lawyers.
I know at least one secondborn lawyer, but anyway.
Yeah, secondborn seems like a natural for lawyers because they're going to break the rules. You know what I mean? It's all about changing. It's all about rebellion. It's all about finding some angle around the rules. I mean, the secondborn is natural for becoming a lawyer because the rules itself are the firstborn, you see? The law is number one born. That's your parents. It's like the law. So you're going to be the one who's going to manipulate the law and find your way around the law, and that's perfect for a second born. You know, so that's good for a lawyer profession. But they're going to work to impress other. They're going to work to the second born. They tend to be critical of other people, and they offer constructive criticism to try to get people to perform better. But you don't always welcome the criticism, but they tend to be critical. The second-born's way of dealing with people is being critical.
And the third-born looks for ways to help other people so that they'll be pleased.
Yeah, and you mix that up with their lack of boundaries, you know, and so other people are always using them, you know, because they're pleasers. They want to please, and they're easily used. And you notice, by the way, no third-born's called in. None.
That is true.
Right. they're all being used for something else. And the fourthborns, by the way, they entertain others with their witty expressions, so they'll want to get around. They make themselves valuable, you know. They kind of make themselves like the lucky one, the one that you want there. Oh, I wish we had more time. Listen, we're going to pick this up on Monday, but we're just going to play around with it and take more of your calls. For those of you who called in, your ordinal position. We're out of time now. If you want a copy of today's program and the last two programs, you call 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. Look up the webpage, which is thepositivemind.com. It's really amazing. There's been some good stuff on it. And if you want to reach me by email, it's armand@brainlink.com. armand@brainlink.com. Deborah Hillman, nice to be with you.
Hey, happy birthday.
Hey, thank you very much. I'll see you people when I'm a little older.